Welcome to the Inner Ho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual, feminist ho living in New York City, and...
me, Rob, one pansexual, agender, feminist with a fatty.
A fatty!
Fatty girl! Fatty girl!
Wow! Fatty girl. It's been a while.
Who is twerking as she always is.
Yeah, who is in the corner. Crucifix studio.
In the corner.
Who was that by?
LL Cool J.
Wow.
And some
shout out to Queens. Okay.
Facts.
I'm just going to put it all on Queens.
Look, somebody's going to fucking message. It wasn't just LL Cool J. It wasn't even me. That nigga song.
It was me. I'm a big fan of your show, and I'm a little bit disappointed in you.
Trash.
Exactly. Canceled. On this here ridiculous show, we have two types of episodes. They are group episodes and interview episodes. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of the show, and one of my rotating co-hosts talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and or race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is an interview episode, and it is a part of our Mental Health March series. And on this episode, we will be interviewing a very lovely guest by the name of Ellie and talking about her experience with PMDD. So if you don't know what PMDD is...
PMDD is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. It's a severe disabling form of premenstrual syndrome, also known as PMS, and it includes severe depression symptoms, irritability, and tension before menstruation.
You say that word interesting.
I don't know why, because it's not menstruation. It's menstruation. And... I don't want to say
sometimes
that.
Sometimes I say menstruation.
I want to back up because it's not how the fucking word is spelled. And it's a misnomer that nobody ever corrects me on. Anyway, PMDD is premenstrual dysphoric disorder. And it's a severe disabling form of premenstrual syndrome, which is PMS. And it includes severe depression symptoms, irritability, and tension before menstruation. In PMDD, the physical and emotional symptoms of regular PMS can cause disruption to interpersonal, academic, and or occupational functioning.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into a interview a little bit later with a guest who has PMDD, and then also our co-host of this episode, Rob, also has PMDD. So I think you guys did a really good job at unpacking what that looks like for people who might not know, and then also people who might be suffering from it or might be suffering from something that they think is it, to like go into spaces, medical spaces, and like advocate for themselves. You know, so because PMDD is, as you just heard the definition of it, a disorder that can be very traumatic, we do want to and we will be talking about that in detail. We do want to give a trigger warning for suicidal ideations and detailed attempts of suicide. Those are two things we're going to be discussing in this episode. So if that is not for you, please don't listen to this episode. Go listen to like Animals Do Be Gay, though. Though that's probably
that
a good episode too.
That is a great episode.
Yeah. or a seemingly good episode. We have tons of just
recycle pussy pics are important.
Yeah, there's plenty of lollygag episodes that you can listen to instead of this. But if you do want to get into that, I also do want to note that, you know, this is a more serious month for us, but the show is, you know, equal parts lighthearted and serious, so it's not going to just be a drab description of what's going on.
Sadness,
it is, yeah,
depression.
And Ellie is a great guest. So if you're feeling like a little hesitant to jump in, probably don't jump in. But if you think it's just going to be like sad, it's not that. It's actually a pretty uplifting episode. So before we get into that, we do have a couple of housekeeping things as well as a self-care tip to get into. And first, we're going to let you know the hashtags you can use to talk about this episode on social media.
So if you would like to follow along with this conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
If you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com. If you want to help support this show monetarily or in other ways, I'm going to give you some ways where you can do so. You can go to InnerHoUprising.com. You click the button pay a hoe once or pay a hoe monthly. The button pay a hoe once takes you to our PayPal, which is paypal.me/innerhoe, where you can give any amount of donation at any time that you want. Pay a hoe monthly takes you to our Patreon, which is a monthly way to support the show. So if you do a $2 and up donation, you get early access to ticketed IHU events and access to things like VIP hours and stuff like that. And if you do $5 a month and up, you get that as well as our newsletter, which is kind of a roundup of sexual current events, like the quirky current events, the serious current events, the off the wall current events. Who says off the wall? Whatever. It's a good newsletter that I have just started working on. So that is something for you. And then also we're considering doing behind the scenes video content. But most importantly, it's just a way to help support us, because if you like this podcast, you know, we need resources. We need resources to do it. And if you don't have monetary resources to give to the show, other ways you can help support us are by going to Apple Podcasts and writing a review. You can go to Stitcher and write a review. You can go to either of those websites and just give us 5-star ratings as opposed to a review. You can write a tweet about us. You can write an Instagram post about us. You can write a Facebook post about us. You can write a Pinterest post about us. You can write a Snapchat post about us. You can Tumblr about us. You can write up about us on your blog. You can pitch a story about your favorite podcast and include us to your editor. You can do a vlog about us. You can put a link to us in your group chat.
Oh my God.
There are many ways, so, and I'm going to tell all of you.
The podcast episode is about the ways you could...
You can nudge your coworker. You can nudge your sibling. You can nudge your dormitory mate. Is that what people, your roommate? You could nudge your mom, your cohabitant. You could tell your boyfriend. You could tell your girlfriend. Pup. You could tell your they friend. You could tell your dog. I don't know how they're going to access the show, but you can do that. I love the show. You can walk down the street wearing a Inner Ho Uprising shirt, and you can do that, or pin, or a condom.
I'm so sorry.
You can use an Inner Ho Uprising condom on your one night stand.
What?
And then give them the wrapper and be like, "That's a good show, though." Just like my
thank
dick
you for
was
putting
good.
This on.
Yeah, exactly. The show is as good as my dick. Nah, probably not. The show
nothing,
is as good.
Nothing
like,
is
as my pussy.
Yeah, no, no penis is as good.
The
as
show
the
is
show.
As funny as my pussy is wet. I'm going to actually just start using that. I think that was pretty good. Innerhoeuprising.com/merchandise if you want to get into that weirdness. Okay. And now, Rob, the self-care tip of the week.
So if you are a uterus owner or a menstruating person, this might be helpful to you as you go forth listening to this episode. Because if you have any symptoms and you're like, this sounds like it could be me, this PMDD thing, or I don't know, do I even have PMS, or is this like a comorbid thing where like I might have depression? I don't know what the fuck is going on. So my self-care tip for you is to log your periods and your moods, right? So one thing that I did do, I never actually logged my mood because it was too triggering for me to go, am I sad? Right? That was hard for me, especially because for me, it had no real purpose, right? But I did log my periods. So I knew that at a good note, I had actually wrote this on a physical calendar on my wall, because I feel like that's important, that if you see it every day, you'll be more apt to remember to log it, right? So as soon as I got my period, I put period start. I put the day that my period ends, which is like 4 to 5 days later. And then I'd count 28 days from when my last period was, and I put period begin in a question mark, right? And then if my period would shift left to right, I'd put left to right. So at one point, I only locked my moods. Let me back up. I did lock my moods briefly just to see, like, am I wilding or some shit? But I did it with colors. And I put the color, because that's the way that it wasn't triggering for me. Because I felt like if I were to put angry, sad, like, it would just be like, I didn't want to validate those fucking feelings or whatever. I didn't want to put like a sad face, like a 0 from 1 to 10 or whatever. But actually a 0 from 1 to 10, if you have like a scale of 0 being completely content and 10 being the hopeless, helplessness, things that you don't want to really feel. And you were to put a number in between that, if you're really trying to figure out if this is something that is occurring because of your period, if you want to find out if your sadness is cyclic, to log it for a whole month for like two to three months. Mm-hmm. That'll give you a real good baseline. And then if you want to go to the doctor, at least I have this baseline.
Yeah.
This is when I get my period and this is how I feel when I get it. So there is no fucking discrepancy. You just basically did a study.
Yeah.
And you did a really good study.
Yeah.
It will help rule out other things, because you might do that and you might realize you feel this way all the time, or you actually feel this way at the time frame that isn't considered like a PMDD time frame, which is like right after your period. You might feel it at the, you know, it would just basically give you a real snapshot of how your moods alter around your periods. And if you don't get your period because of your birth control, it's still, or any reason, if you don't get periods at all because you don't have a uterus either, it's like a good self-care tip in general for people. Just if you do have any kind of mental issues that aren't constant, you can log it on a calendar. And just with the calendar, basically, it's easy. It's easier because you have days already written. So you didn't have to write down Monday, I felt like this. Tuesday, I felt like this. And then you could just look at it and see the whole month in a snapshot, as opposed to a week at a time or something like that, which is kind of what you get with like some planners and stuff. And yeah, just write a little legend at the bottom. You put a legend on a post-it somewhere or whatever, for if you want to do colors, like orange meaning I feel like shit, red meaning I'm feel like extreme shit, yellow meaning I'm borderline, and green meaning I'm okay, something like that, you know.
Or shapes.
Heart meaning I'm full of love and happiness and I'm okay. And X meaning fuck this shit, you know. Like, there's just so many different ways, and you can be creative about it. But it's just a tool. We all have the ability to study ourselves. They've been studying niggas for years, but never studying them for what they needed to be studied for. Want to shoot them up with syphilis and shit. But this way...
Stay woke, my friends.
Wake the fuck up. But this way, you can, you know, it's a little self-study. Give you a little research and skills and shit. Yeah.
That was a very cool self-care tip, Rob. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, y'all. This is Rodecca here, just popping up to let you guys know something super important before we begin this episode. Y'all know this month is my birthday month, and I would love for you guys to come through this Sunday and celebrate with me at our Sex Trivia Sundays. This Sunday, March 17th, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. at Love Story Bar, we'll be throwing our monthly sex trivia event. If you're into nerdy shit, pub trivia, learning, sex, sex experts, winning prizes, music, fun, and hoes. And let's just be real here. If you're listening to this podcast, you should at least like one of those things. You need to come through. And on top of that, it's free. You can register to compete by using the link in the description of this episode. Or you can come through and spectate. No registration is necessary. Winners receive a prize courtesy of Babeland. We hope to see you there. Now back to my hoes.
So today we have Ellie, pronouns she, her, age 29. Ellie is the author of speakingup.blog, where she shares stories about her experiences of dealing with PMDD. Her goal is to raise awareness about PMDD and remove the silence, stigma, and seclusion associated. Welcome to the show, Ellie.
Welcome, Ellie.
Hi, thank you for having me.
No, of course.
Thank you for being on.
All right, so we're going to hop right into this bad boy. So, what was life like prior to your period? As far as like when you were a kid and your moods?
Prior to my period, I didn't really have any issues, emotional issues, any mood problems or anything like that. I was probably just like a free little kid, no worries.
Like a happy little Ellie.
Happy little, yeah.
Aw.
So then when did you get your first period, and like were your periods normal in the beginning?
I remember I was 14, going on 15, and I was sitting in a class, and I just remember like breaking down. My stomach was like so excruciating pain, like was just like unbearable, and I didn't understand what was happening. So I went to the bathroom, and you know, I realized like, hey, I just got my period. And I remember just going home that day and just like feeling so bad, like if this is what life is, like I don't want to grow up, because I was in so much pain. Yeah.
Was it like that since, or were like your period's not so shitty at sometimes?
No, I pretty much had bad periods like ever since. Like sometimes, some months, like usually like it pulls back a little bit and it might not be so bad. But most months I have like the severe kind of PMDD, so it was like really like hitting me every month.
Well, in your words then, what's the difference between PMS and PMDD, especially because it seems as if you kind of skip PMS completely and always had PMDD?
Yeah, definitely always had PMDD. Like I feel like when I like the few friends that I had that experienced PMS, I saw that they were able to go about their life, their daily life, like with no problem. And like with me, it was just, I was like, I couldn't get out of bed most of the time. And I had like this overwhelming feeling of like, just, I was just like, so like felt so worthless and bloated. I gained like 10 pounds of water weight around that time. Literally, like no exaggeration, like 8 to 10 pounds of water weight. And I just felt so bad. And I can tell the difference in other people. Like they were able to go with it. They'll just be like, oh, I got cramps. And like me, I'm like bent over in my bed and I can't move. Yeah.
And this is even with like, oh, popping ibuprofen and Midol and all that.
Yeah,
kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Say that, so, that shit don't be working when that shit
yeah,
is
yeah, you
extreme.
Do say
that.
I'm always like, do you want an ibuprofen? And I was like, what's
not
the
at
plan?
All.
Can you give
not
me
at
morphine?
All.
Like,
you got heroin? Like, did you have like, well, clearly, because you found out you had PMDD, but was it like a defining event that made you like go to the doctor and find out what was really going on?
So at the beginning, I didn't know that it was PMDD. I realized that it was a difference in other girls and myself, but I didn't put two and two together. I thought it was kind of like maybe I just had it worse than other people. And I have never heard anything about PMDD or anything at that time. So I would actually, my mom would take me to therapy for mental health issues in general. So like I was like in every therapy section and just like getting diagnosed bipolar and schizophrenia. I had multiple personality disorder, severe manic depression. I mean, every single diagnosis you can get, I got it.
Around what age was that happening?
From 15 up until I was maybe 20, 21.
So are any of those, have any of those other mental diagnoses, did any of them stick after the diagnosis with PMDD? Like, are any of them comorbid or is it just PMDD?
I feel like it's just PMDD. Like, I've once my symptoms are gone and, you know, like, I'm like regular. I'm just like normal, like just like functioning, like with no issues, no problems. And whereas right before my period, I'm just a total different person.
So is that how they diagnose? Like, how did they actually come to the diagnosis of PMDD? Was it like tracking your moods along with your period? Like, how did that come about?
They didn't diagnose me. I diagnosed myself. Like, it was, not really. So, all right. So what happened was I actually, like, I was going through a bad month. So at this time, I'm not sure. I'm still taking like pills for bipolar and antidepressants and just keeping up with all of those. But at the same time, I was self-medicating. I was smoking a lot of weed. Like, you know, that was my way of like kind of like just kind of like calming down the what I felt. So at that time, it was like, what happened was like, I was in a bathroom one day and I just remember like dropping down to the floor and I was around 17, 18 years old. And I was with my ex-girlfriend at the time and I was living in Connecticut and I dropped down to the floor and I was like, just, I was so tired of like feeling the way that I was feeling and, none of the medicines that I was taking was helping and nothing resonated with me. Like every diagnosis was just like, this is not me. Why is it like sometimes like I'm okay, I'm clear-minded, and at other times I'm not. And I dropped down to the floor and I just decided to like, I wanted to end my life in that moment. I was like, and prior to that, I tried, like, you know, when I was 15 and 16, I often tried to end my life in like by taking pills. But I think this time is like, so like, I was just like really over it. Like, I was like, any type of pill I'm finding, I'm stuffing it down my throat. Like, like I was, you know, not bullshitting. Like, I was like, no, this time I have to go because I can't deal with this, you know. And so that happened. I dropped down to the floor and I literally found every pill in the bathroom and I took them. And I just remember my mom is like my number one supporter. I remember texting her. She was in New York at the time and I lived in Connecticut. And I remember texting her and I'm like, Mom, like, I can't deal with this. I just can't deal with this. Like, I can't keep a job. I can't do anything. Like, I'm just, I can't do it. And she was like, please just call the ambulance. Like, so I ended up calling the ambulance. And how I was diagnosed with, well, how I diagnosed myself is a lot of Yale students came and it was like kind of like they were studying me as if I was like a project or experiment for them. And they were like 10 residents over my bed and they were like asking me a bunch of questions like, why did you try to kill yourself? Like, what's wrong? Like, what led up to it? And they didn't give me any answers. And they so when they were done answering their questions, I mean asking their questions, they like walked away. And as they were walking away, I'm like, wait, like, so what's wrong with me? Like, you guys are gonna come ask me questions? Like, what's wrong? Am I going to be in a psych ward? Like, what's going on? And they were like, oh, you just need birth control pills. So I didn't get it at the time. I'm
wow,
like, what?
That simple.
Yeah. So I'm like, what? I need birth control. Like, birth control pills is gonna solve this? So that was like my first, like, you know, self diagnosis. Like, I Googled like mood swings and birth control pills and you know. And then I think I found one article about PMDD at the time. This is in maybe early 2000s, maybe 2008-ish, like yeah. So I have found one article at that time about PMDD, and it was a personal blog of a lady speaking about like her experience and saying like, you know, like, no one knows what I'm going through. And I remember just crying like, this is me, and everything resonated. So that's how I like diagnosed myself.
First of all, I'm fucking infuriated by the, you said that was Yale University?
Yeah. Yeah.
What type of bedside manner? Who the fuck are those people? That yeah. was garbage. That was a yeah. terrible way to handle that situation. I'm glad that you did then go on to Google it and were able to diagnose yourself. Mm-hmm. And then this reminds me, like off mic, I was talking to Akua about the fact that PMDD didn't get what written about in the DSM, what, 4 or 5 until 2013.
It was added to, what I found was that it was added to DSM-4 in 1994.
Hmm. Okay. There was a discrepancy there. Yeah. Maybe it changed.
But
I don't know.
Maybe it moved from a mental thing to a, I don't know. I never learned about it in psychology.
It seemed like there wasn't enough research on it at the time yeah. that these people were just like, get on birth control.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wow, you were like, you're at the cusp of even knowing what it is in the first place.
Yeah.
Or yeah, maybe it was like different symptoms.
Yeah,
because
you know, like a lot of the things in the DSM, it'd be like, they change things around.
Gayness is a mental illness.
Precisely. And like gender dysphoria, but like, yeah. you know, like all kinds of stuff. Like they change stuff around. It might have just been that. Because mm-hmm. I don't know what they put in the DSM-5.
Yeah.
If that came out yet. Did that come out yet, Akua? Yeah, I haven't. Because when I was in college, it was still DSM-4. But mm-hmm. I don't know what's in DSM-5. But mm-hmm. in 4, it was there. So it was a mental mood. I think it was like considered like a mood disorder that.
Peeling the layer the fuck back just. Either you, Ellie, or you, Rob, just for people who are like, what is the DSM? Because, you know, this is a sex podcast and not a psychology podcast.
Okay, so that is the Diagnostic.
Look at Kua in the corner, all proud of you.
Statistical manual
for mental disorders, right? So right yeah. now we're on the
proud
fifth version.
Of you. I'm proud of everyone.
I was like pointing to Ellie, Akua,
Rob,
the whole
Akua.
Time.
So, I took psychology AP in like 11th grade. That's the only, nothing else.
You know, niggas got the associates in psychology. So yes. Bare minimum, I better know what fucking DSM is, right? Like, because that was like the Bible
that's
and shit.
That's the question that's going to save your life one day. You're going to have like a Jeopardy.
It's the dying, not the... But yeah, so right now we're in the DSM-5. But yeah, that's like the primary... The DSM basically is a manual that has mental disorders, mood disorders, personality disorders, like depression, bipolar, like every mental disorder that they classify. So things that you were diagnosed with, it has a list of symptoms, and you have to have a certain amount of symptoms in order to be diagnosed with this. And then it also says the things that have to be ruled out. So basically things that could cause the same symptoms. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it's like with mental, a lot of it is like they give you blood tests to make sure that it's not your thyroid, because that can mimic a lot of the mood disorder symptoms.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically anytime you're diagnosed with anything, they pull that bitch out and say, do you have unexplained weight gain or weight loss?
And, gotcha.
And I guess when they added PMDD is when they added... when they added PMDD, but a lot of the symptoms are extremely similar to major depressive disorder. Mm-hmm. So that probably gave them a way to decipher between the two. Mm-hmm. And they added more symptoms. You have to have more symptoms than mm-hmm. just the symptoms of major depressive disorder, because they'll mm-hmm. probably just diagnose you with that instead.
Can we double back for a moment and talk? You kind of touched on all of these things a little bit, but talk about how disruptive to your life your PMDD got. So like you were mentioned, having been diagnosed with like bipolar and multiple personality and things like that. So how was that playing out in your life? What does it happen? Like the 2 weeks before your period or something like that? Like what is the time frame?
Yeah, for me.
And what was going on?
For me, it's 2 weeks before I get my actual period. Yeah. And like I said, there's like a severe kind and then it's milder cases. For me, mine is like disabling at most times at every month. I'm like, it's hard for me to get out of bed and to go to work and to actually live a functional life, even with relationships and just everything in my life is kind of like a blurred out. I can't really hold a conversation because my brain is so foggy at those moments. So I really have a real severe case of it. But at the time when I was being diagnosed bipolar, you know, when you're labeled anything to me, I'm not really big on labels. When you're labeled anything to me, you kind of, like, especially as a kid, you kind of start to believe it. So every single label and everything I was diagnosed with, I believed I had. So I believe I was manic, bipolar. I believe, and I started to think that, like, you know, give myself excuses, make excuses for myself. So, like, I would just be like, okay, say if like I'm at school and I'm like, yo, like I have like this rage inside of me right before my period, and I'm like, I will act out on it. Like, so I would like, if someone would piss me off, like I would like, you know, probably punch them in their throat or something, or something like that. Like,
beat,
you know,
the brakes off in there.
So and I always gave myself an excuse because it was always, you know, she has this, like every time I turned around, and everyone in my life, my brothers, my mother, everyone like walked on eggshells around me. So it would just be like, oh, she's going through it. And it kind of made me feel like I wasn't normal at the time when I was young. And that's just how I felt when I was young. I was just like, you know what? I'm like, is something wrong with me? I'm not normal. I can't control this. These pills aren't working. See, for me, pills didn't work. I have bad reactions to any type of medications. Like, the only thing I could put, like poison I could put in my body is alcohol. Like, that's it. Like, everything else, like any type of medication and stuff, like, I can't do it. So like,
what happens when you take medication? Is it like a physical reaction or like, yeah, it makes you feel, so like foggy in the brain?
Yeah, exactly. So like whatever they were prescribing me, so I would get like Seroquel, or I would be like a total different person. I would be foggy in the brain. I would be like sometimes like have physical reactions, like hives break out, or it would just be worse than actually dealing with the, you know, issues alone. So like, you know, and that's just me, my body really can't take. So I went to like kind of like changing my diet and things like that to try to help with the symptoms a little bit more. But yeah,
so what are you doing now to treat your symptoms? Or like, what was the red after the Yale University students were like birth control? What did you do?
So there wasn't going still forward. There still wasn't a lot of resources at all at that time. It was basically little to none. I went to every single doctor, therapy, and I was like kind of like crying out for help. Like, listen, like I think I have this. And it's something wrong with me, and like I need you to fix it because I can't function. I can't keep a job. Like I'm literally like ruining my life. I'm leaving jobs left to right. I can't hold a job for anything, and that was my biggest concern, because I actually I like school, and even when school I love school, and I couldn't like function. Like I just couldn't do it during those times. So. Yeah, they would like, it would just be like, I was just begging them, and they were like, oh, they will always dismiss it as PMS. Like, oh, like you just need painkillers, or like you just need, like you're just as PMS, like you're fine. Like, and every single doctor, like my mom took me to so many doctors. Every doctor was like, oh, this is just PMS. Like you're fine. No one was really educated on PMDD. Even if they were, they still dismissed it as PMS.
What?
Yeah.
You know that it exists and you're still not budging?
Yeah. People don't believe black women.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly. Black women. Yep. There you go.
I mean, that's why there was no research into PMDD in the first place. Because it's just like, these bitches are hysterical.
Mm. Being dramatic. That's
a lot of the history was like, oh, you know, they thought that PMDD isn't real. Like they say it's like social, and they say that, oh, if you diagnose people with PMDD, you're misdiagnosing them because you're not diagnosing their underlying disorders. Like, are you asking them, like, are they depressed? Are you asking them about stress or abuse? Like basically saying that giving people with uteruses the option to have something other than like a mental health disorder that has nothing to do with their uteruses is like... is basically giving them a way out other than what the world wants them to have, which is like hysteria. Wow. It's really odd that...
Yeah. It's not odd, it's sexist.
Yeah, yeah. It is. It's let's odd call it because what it is. If it were to be in the position of people with penises, it wouldn't be like that. It would be, no, this is because of your penis or your testes or whatever. This isn't in your head. Mm. But for us, it's they want you to believe exclusively that it is in your head.
Mm-hmm.
And they never, when I'm sure, Ellie, you experienced this, that when you go through these psychiatric evaluations for all these other disorders, they don't ask you about your period.
Mm.
Yeah, they don't ask you if you have regular periods, if you have painful periods, if you get depressed before your period, how are you feeling? They don't ask you to do a calendar about your periods or whatever like that, like they do when you have some kind of gastrointestinal issue. They want you to write down everything you fucking eat. But if they diagnose you with depression or bipolar disorder with the uterus, also considering that it's cyclic, mm-hmm. and bipolar disorder is cyclic, that they don't try to rule out that it could quite possibly be because of your menstruation at all. Mm-hmm. Not once, not with any doctor ever in my life.
Mm.
Like, I got diagnosed because of an OBGYN, not a psychologist.
Wow, what do you know? That's interesting.
And it was a woman.
Yeah.
So, and I was just like, why don't people... Like, what doesn't make any sense that if I'm of reproductive age with a uterus, why wouldn't you rule out that it could possibly be my period? It could be comorbid, but it could also just be extreme fucking PMDD.
Mm-hmm. Just, I don't have any experience with PMDD, but I do have experience with dumbass doctors. And sometimes they really just don't be knowing.
No.
They don't even know what they're not asking. Mm-hmm.
It's you don't know what you don't know.
Exactly.
But I do blame them, because for me as not a doctor, granted, yeah, I got a fucking uterus, but even before I knew about PMDD, it's always something that occurred to me was, why are they not asking me to to write down my moods day by day?
Mm-hmm.
With you, when they diagnose you with bipolar disorder, they just ask you. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of confounding evidence, because it's self-reported evidence, you know, like in a way that's not calendar based.
Yeah.
So you're just asking me, I'm reporting to you, but it may or may not be accurate. But if I were to report to you via calendar and line it up with my period, it might be,
it's like a match. like National Treasure, right? Nick Cage sees it and he's like, huh, there's something going on here. So because this is, you know, a sex, love, and dating podcast, we do want to get into that aspect of things and how that pertains to your diagnosis with PMDD. So what is your romantic life like having this disorder?
Well, like right now, my girlfriend is amazing. Like I feel like she's yes. really like the best thing that ever happened to me, because she supports Aww. Me, she understands me, she listens. She's really amazing. She's the one that was like, you have to like talk about it, because you know, honestly, I've only been out about this actual diagnosis since January. I haven't
This January
2019. Yeah, this 2019.
Whoa. You're here talking about it. Damn,
look
son.
At you.
Yeah. You out here, big advocate.
Yeah, and you know, the reason for that is my girlfriend was like, you know, you should write about it, you're a great writer. And I was like, okay. And you know, I wound up creating my website and writing about it, and then people started to write me like, hey, like, what is this? I didn't know what was wrong with me and like what was going on. And it kind of like, you know, it like resonated with me, like other people are suffering and we're suffering in silence, basically, because there's not a big understanding on it itself. Like, it's just always like, you know, like, oh, this is just PMS, it's a woman thing, like, you know, like she's emotional, she's dramatic, and it's not. And you know, when you get to the point where you're attempting to commit suicide on multiple occasions, like it's way bigger than that. And so that's when I decided to like just speak up about it. As far as my relationship goes, she gets the worst of it. Like, she gets like me, I sometimes like I shut down. So my cycle of PMDD is I get like, I either go numb, and let's say there's 2 weeks prior to my period, I get completely numb. And I mean, like, literally, like, it shuts down. Because I think what happens is, all right, PMDD is not an actual hormonal imbalance. It's just, like, your reaction, your body's reaction to the hormonal, the natural changes and fluctuations between, like, you know, like, your different hormones. So your body reacts differently. And the serotonin in your brain kind of, like, just is not there anymore. So you don't have, like, those feel-good... Those same lovey-dovey kind of feelings that you once had, maybe even the day before. So yeah, like, you know, the day before I'm probably like, you know, like giving her hugs and, oh, I love you, and the next day I'm like, ill, like, stay away from me, like, you know, like, I'm not saying it to her, but it's just like, it's all in my body language. Like, I don't want anything to do with anybody. I'm like shut down. Like, nobody does anything for me. The interest that I had like had yesterday is not today. Like, even if I was like writing yesterday and I was like binge writing, like going through a whole bunch of stories, and then today I can't even, I'm not even interested in it. It's like, whatever, I don't even want to think about this, you know. So with my girlfriend, she's very understanding. In the past it wasn't like that. I guess because I was like so secretive about it, this is the first time I've been open about it and been doing a lot of research on it and kind of, you know, trying to educate the person that you're with, because that's important. You can't just like leave them in the dark. And before that, it was just like, oh, this bitch is crazy. Like, you know, it was just like always something like that. And I was like, they didn't understand me. So when I go to these breaking down moments, they were just kind of like, oh, like, let me go this way and leave her over here.
Wait, so you're saying after you would explain it to people, they would kind of just like put you on ice?
Well, no, I never explained it to anybody. And this is the first time I've ever explained it to anybody in a relationship with my current girlfriend. Like, and before that, it just seemed like I was, you know, for lack of a better term, just bipolar. Like, I just look like one week I'm fine, and then the next week I'm just like, you know, I don't want anything to do with you.
When it came to your girlfriend, what was the process of you educating, like, what was going on with you to her? Like, what kind of resources did you use? How did you break it down?
Like, I just for the first time in my life, I just was like, you know, like, listen, like, I have PMDD. I know you might not know what it is, and she didn't. And I told her, you know, I explained to her what it was, and explained to her that, like, you know, like, I have different times in my life when I'm just like, I shut down. Like, I can't physically and mentally be there for you, because I can't even be there for myself during those times, you know. Like, and it's I told her, please don't take it personal, because I like kind of like separated the two. For me, this is how I cope with it, is like I separated the two. So there's like, there's me, there's Ellie, and then it's like Effie. I gave it the name Effie from Dreamgirls. Like, so like there's Effie and then there's Ellie. So like with Effie, that's basically, that's like, you know, the times that when like I'm going through the mood swings and stuff, and I try to explain it to her like that, like I separated the two from who I am, who I really am, as opposed to like who, you know, what PMDD brings out of me and who this person is, you know. And she got it right off the bat. She wasn't so hard to, you know, it wasn't hard. I'm happy that I even said anything about it.
Yeah, you did a really good like metaphorical breakdown of that.
Hey guys, this is Rodeca popping in again just to give you guys some more information. Nowadays, it's really hard to find time to visit the doctor. We're all really busy, and obviously we don't always get time to check up as often as we should. And something like birth control can get pushed to the back burner more often than not. But we don't want an accident to happen. You're in the groove and suddenly you're running on Amazon, which they do have it on Amazon, by the way. Or you're running to a drugstore for plan B. Obviously, nobody wants that to happen. And that's where Simple Health comes in. Simple Health is all about care that fits into your life and not the other way around. It's super convenient and eliminates the need for a doctor's office, waiting lines, and annoying pharmacy lines. I hate standing in line. I'm sure you do too. You get your birth control prescribed, renewed, and delivered from wherever you are on your schedule. Simple Health makes taking care of your health, well, simple. That's in the name. I know that personally for me, getting birth control in the past has been a super stressful experience. I would plan the visit to the doctor, and then all of a sudden, I can't make it. I ran over and I forgot my insurance card. Something dumb happens. And then I reach to check for my pack and it's finished. There's nothing that sucks worse than reaching for your next pill pack just to realize that you run out and you're left completely unprotected. With Simple Health, I don't even have to think about it anymore because it's delivered to my door when I need it. We're also talking about PMDD this episode. And as you know, birth control can help alleviate the symptoms of PMDD. However, note that Simple Health is not meant to replace regular visits to your gynecologist or general practitioner. So make sure you're still getting checked out regularly, because this is not supposed to substitute. It's just supposed to make your life a lot easier. Simple Health offers affordable care regardless of insurance. They do accept insurance, and birth control is free with most insurance plans. But for those without insurance, birth control pills start at just $15 a month, and delivery is free for everyone. The prescription is about $20 usually with the taxes and fees, but our listeners get to try it for free with our code. All you have to do to get the prescription fee waived is to go to simplehealth.com/inner or enter in the code inner at checkout. Again, you just go to simplehealth.com/inner or enter the code inner at checkout to try Simple Health for free. I promise you, you will not regret it.
I want to go back to when they had suggested for you to go on birth control, clearly because I'm traumatized by you saying, I keep revisiting it, but did you go on birth control after that or at all at any point in your life? And if so, okay. So did that help with the symptoms?
No,
or?
not for me, but I went on maybe like 6 different kinds of birth control. But every single one reacted, like my body reacted differently. Like, so like the first kind that they put me on, I was like bleeding like nonstop for like 30 days.
And I was like, oh my God, that happened to me too.
Yeah. And I was like, I can't do this because it's not helping. It's not alleviating any of the symptoms. It's just like making me bleed. And then they switched it and it was like, I would just have like the foggy brain. And everything. So it didn't work for me. It works for some people, but it didn't work for me.
Yeah, for me, so I got diagnosed with PMDD in 2017, like around when I graduated college. I was having some really fucking shitty periods, and I finally went to the doctor like, all right, listen here, bitch.
Something's gotta give.
Like, I'm about to end my show, what's up? That sounds so bad. But anyway.
It's your truth.
So I was on birth control before, but just because I was like totally not trying to get pregnant. I wasn't on birth control for the past few years, but it's because I was using condoms, practicing that safe sex, better wear latex. But she suggested for my PMDD to go on birth control and to not get my period. She's like, you could go off the birth control every 3 months to get it to make sure you're not pregnant. But she's like, really, you don't need your period. What do you need your period for, right?
Yeah.
You need it for some things. But like in reality, if you don't, like if you don't need it, you know, what was the point?
The only reason why birth control was built that way is because pregnancy tests were less accessible and more expensive at the time that birth control was being developed.
And then probably birth control was probably slightly less effective then as well. So you probably had a higher chance of getting pregnant. Right now, it's like 98%. If you use the shit like Perfect or whatever,
but there's no medical reason for you to get your period.
Exactly. And I was using condoms anyway, so I didn't really need to get my period. And for me, it did help. I have barely get my period. I'm trying to get my period now. Please God, grant me my period. I haven't gotten a period since like July of last year. Right now, it's recording in February, and I've been chilling. So now it's like all of the things that I feel, I know I'm just feeling it for one reason or another. It's not hormonal because I do have comorbid conditions with it, but I know that it's not my period per se. So right now, since I stopped my birth control, I'm actually doing okay. But I think it's just because of the hormones are probably returning to normal. I'm probably going to want to die very soon. It's going to all kick in at once, but you know, I'm chilling, but I know that it doesn't work for everybody. I just respond very well to the bare minimum amount of hormones. I'm on like the lowest possible hormone ever, but I didn't want to, cause somebody, a doctor, OBGYN, but he was a dude, so I don't fucking trust him. But he suggested like, oh, why don't you just get a non-hormonal birth control to stop your period? But I'm like, why?
Yeah.
He was trying to say that's why I be getting yeast infections and shit, is because I don't get my period. And I'm like, how are you a fucking gun? Who pays you? Who paid the government? The government is doing a plan to kill niggas. Like, what is this?
That is a weird thing.
Nigga said that's why your pH balances off, because you don't get your period and you have all these hormones built up in your system. Like, hormones are like
sounds
fucking
like a
kidney stones.
Sounds
right?
Like a hotep.
But it was like totally like a white dude.
He's a white hotep.
Yeah. Stupid as fuck.
He's a hotep.
And I still decided to not get my period. Because fuck you.
Yeah, look at you.
I'm sure somebody's gonna comment like, well, there are medical reasons to get your period. I don't care. There's medical reasons for me not to get my period. I don't wanna fucking kill myself.
Say that. Like, that's a word.
I'd definitely rather get acne and have like a stupid vagina and also be alive.
Since you're not on birth control and these like medications don't work for you, how are you day to day treating your symptoms?
I'm just being very mindful. I'm journaling a lot so I can separate the two. And also I changed my diet. So I cut out caffeine. I don't eat like meat. I cut out that because the hormones with that can, you know, like get in the way. Also I've like, I can't say I cut out alcohol. I'm supposed to, but that's like the only that's like the only thing I was like, all right, like I'm just, you know, we're gonna make an exception with that. I still drink alcohol, but it does help for you to cut out alcohol as well. And what else? Like just dairy. Oh, dairy's a big one. Dairy for me, you know, like most black people especially, like are, you know, like lactose intolerant. And it has so many different effects on your body in general. So it, and also it affects your hormones in a lot of ways. So I cut out dairy. And it helps for the most part. It's not as bad as it used to be, but it has to be a lifestyle. I can't just think 3 weeks before I get my period, 2 weeks before I get my period, I'm going to stop it. Like you have to like commit to not, you know, ingesting any of this. Mm-hmm, so that's what I've been doing. Yeah.
How long have you been doing that for?
I want to say I haven't had meat in a little bit over a year. I was a vegan before that, though, for like a couple of years. But, you know, I miss seafood. Like, I can't let go of my lobster and everything else. But
yeah.
I cut that short. And then, so maybe I want to say a little bit over a year. And it's been a lot better. It's been a lot better. And just overall being mindful of it. I journal. I journal a lot. Like, so I write down. I think that's like the number one thing that can help you. Like, you writing down, like writing down anything is like magic to me. So it's like, you know, like you write down, just like you write down your goals to bring it to life, you write down, like, you know, like your, what you're going through, so you can kind of like see the pattern. So I keep journals. So I'm able to notice when my period is coming and, you know, when it's gone. I'm able to see the difference in my writing.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of like when you're just like in the middle of a depressive episode and you didn't even realize that you were about to be in a full depressive episode, and how that kind of makes you feel lost and scared.
It's like, how did I end up here?
Yeah.
When do I get out of
exactly,
here?
Exactly. Cool. I'm glad that you have found those coping mechanisms for PMDD.
Thank you. Oh yeah, and talking about it. talking about it is like, you know, that for me, like I said, is so new for me. It's been since January 2019. Let me tell you, I lost my job in December. Like, I lost my job due to like like, it was just like, I lost my job due to like me, like the rage that I was feeling. And that month I was like really having a bad month. And another important thing for you to do is to talk to your employer. I know it's so hard, but I feel like if I would have spoken to my employees, I don't actually have to tell them what I have, but like kind of just get an understanding, because it was like I struggled in silence. So I don't know how much details I can get into. So and around like December, I had like a sexist male. He was just like always being so disrespectful. And I'm the type of person that like I would speak up before anybody, and I would speak up for everybody. So that's just always me in any job I was in. So that's what happened. So we got into like a heated argument, and they were like, oh, like they basically didn't say it, but they were like, oh, like I was his boss. And it was just basically like, oh, like, you know, like you can't do that, like you can't get into it. But if I would have spoken to them before that, prior to that, and let them know, like, listen, I'm having a really bad week, I don't even need to be at work right now, you know, I think it would have went so differently, but I didn't. So I think it's really important for anyone suffering from PMDD to like actually talk about it, or, you know, come up with solutions, and, you know, get the, you know, like bring like paperwork and anything from your doctors and, you know, to your job, because it really helps, especially if you like suffer from it as bad as I do.
Yeah, for sure. What kind of responses, if any, has your blogspot been getting?
I've been getting people writing me on Facebook and on my blog, like about, like, you know, like, and even like close friends that I never even known dealt with it. Like, everyone was just suffering like in silence, and it was, and everyone's just writing me like, hey, like I think I'm dealing with this. I think I'm going through this. I had no idea what it was. I was just like, you know, like I thought I was crazy. I didn't, you know, like, and it was just like all of this, like, you know, like people just writing me like, you know, like, thank you so much for like talking about this. Like, you helped me to know what this is, because I had no idea. And like none of my doctors were like telling me, like, no one asked, like Rob said, like no one asked about like my periods. Everybody was just so focused on mental aspect of it. Like, no one asked about like my periods and stuff, and it makes so much sense. Yeah, so like they've I've just been getting a lot of that kind of feedback.
That's great. We're so happy that you're doing the work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Also so happy that you even wrote into us to want to speak about it on this platform. So I think that this is a good time to transition to, like, Rob wanted to do kind of like an, you called it a snapshot, like a bigger picture of like how many people are really affected by PMDD, because like you said, a lot of people are suffering in silence.
Word. Mm-hmm. And I know that this is like something that it really isn't talked about a lot. I know that when I was diagnosed, my mom was like, what? And I'm like, but you have a uterus, what is this? Like, it's just something that if you don't have it and you don't seek answers for severe PMS, nobody's going to tell you it exists. I think I might have seen a commercial one time in my life, and I said, So in America, as far as people with uterus who suffer from PMS, it's like 75% of people who menstruate suffer from PMS, but only 5% of people who menstruate suffer from PMDD. That's like
I think they said like total like 5 million people out of like the 65 million.
Do you think that those numbers are off because people don't know what it is?
So, bitch, if you give me, no, I'm kidding.
I'm leaving.
So the
this is my house, but I'm definitely leaving. I'm just kidding.
So, it actually doesn't account for people who are just misdiagnosed, people who aren't diagnosed at all, people who have their ovulatory cycle suppressed by hormones, like through birth control, through surgery. So it doesn't account for any of those people. It only accounts for the people who report these symptoms and are diagnosed with PMDD. So chances are it's a significantly higher percentage of people who have it. But there's, I mean, yeah. But then that's kind of like with anything when it comes to women. So 3-8% of people menstruating worldwide are diagnosed with PMDD. And there was a recent study in India that showed like the same frequency, even though I consider India, even though it's a Eastern, Middle Eastern Asian country, though, just to point that out, they do have a lot of Western concepts because they were a British colony.
Yes.
So can't say when they duplicated a study that was done in America that it's not surprising. I mean, that it is surprising that the statistics are similar. There's really not a lot of research done into it, though. So I don't know of any studies that are done in countries that are not considered like Western society countries. And because my question was like, how social of a concept is PMDD? Could it just be because that? In reality, a lot of mental health things are cultural. To me personally, I know like, somebody, this psychologist in Palestine brought up a point about post-traumatic stress disorder, that is a Western American concept because there is no post in war-torn countries. There's no post in Palestine. So people
ongoing
have
stress disorder.
It's ongoing because it's like, oh, you're back home in America in your safe place and a bomb, a firework goes off and it reminds you of this. But actually in Palestine where a bomb went off, killed somebody's entire family, it's another bomb that they hear that can possibly kill them.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, mental health and these mental diagnoses are,
it's contextual.
Mm-hmm. It's a spectrum. You can't say that somebody has something in one place and has it in the other place because the environment can be so different. And I feel like it might be the same with PMDD, especially because in our culture that people with vaginas, with uteruses, especially of reproductive age, are silenced so heavily. So if these symptoms were, if you were able to openly talk about these symptoms from the beginning, there's a chance that maybe it wouldn't manifest the PMDD. You would know that you had PMDD very early on and it could be treated early on. So I think sometimes it gets worse because of the trauma that it causes. So you spend your whole life wondering what the fuck is wrong with you. Now you're a literal adult, because I'm 27. So I know you understand, like, being an actual adult and finding out so late in life, like, this is what I've suffered from since I was a teenager. And I could have known and I could have treated it, and I don't. Now I'm treating it now, but it's like, it's never too late, of course, but your quality of life has changed dramatically and you don't know where you could have been had you have known to begin with.
Mm.
It affects white and black people who have uteruses of reproductive age at the same frequency, but white women, and I'm just talking about for study purposes, when they had women in the study, white women were more likely to report that they had any kind of PMS and severe PMS issues than black women were.
Have either, if you had a hysterectomy, would this go away?
They said that if you had your ovaries removed,
mm-hmm.
which is because the ovaries are what produces the hormones.
Okay.
So I think if you were to get a hysterectomy specifically is like your uterus removed.
Okay, gotcha.
So I mean, more than likely, yeah, but
a hysterectomy could be all of the reproductive things.
Or just the uterus.
Or just the uterus.
Okay. But if you have just your ovaries removed, regardless of the uterus being there, that is a treatment for PMDD.
Have either of you considered something like that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely have.
You've considered it. What, like, where does that thought go? Where does that conversation go in your mind?
I feel like me and my girlfriend like kind of still want to have like kids, have babies, and I still want that for myself. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a hard decision, but at the same time, it's like, you know, like I would love relief from it. It's so hard, like for me personally, just not being able to like function most of the time. Like, yeah, I'm coping with it now, but it's still hard. I'm just doing that. I'm coping. That's it. You know?
For sure. What same. About you, Robbie?
Yeah, same. It's like, I want to have kids. I'm like super single and I don't know when that's ever going to happen or, you know, when I'll finally decide, you know, I'll do it on my own, but I want to have the option to have my, yeah, like I don't want to like freeze an egg and stick it in my uterus. I'd prefer to just, you know, do the whole process.
That's also extremely expensive.
Facts.
Yeah.
And it's just poor, but I'm also like afraid to with the one thing that I'm not clear about is if you have PMDD and your periods are this bad, what's pregnancy like?
I'm actually in like a PMDD group, support group, so I'm like reading a lot of people different stories. I think it differs from everyone. As far as my mom actually had PMDD, but they didn't have a name for it at the time, so they put her on Prozac. So when she would take Prozac, like, you know, 3 or 4 days prior to her period, hers wasn't as severe as mine is. But when she had it, her pregnancies weren't as bad as, you know, like when she wasn't pregnant. So it can be different for everybody because then, you know, you might have somebody that actually like just suffers.
Is PMDD at all like hereditary or genetic?
Yes, it could be genetic. Yeah.
Yeah. I read that, there could be like some susceptibilities to some hormones, and that, yeah, if your mother or person with the uterus who gave birth to you had PMDD, that it's possible for the child to have PMDD. But as I, you know, it's like the research isn't there.
Yeah.
Especially because that's generational research.
Yeah.
So it's like that's
even harder.
If we just
discovered this thing existed like 10 years ago, mm-hmm. who have we studied?
So yeah. I probably more than likely that research will come out now. But since there's like so many skeptics in the research world to it even existing, that more than likely we're never like truly going to know.
Aside from those Yale niggas who clearly I'm traumatized, have you ever like participated in like a study for PMDD, or has that ever like come across your radar? And same with you, Rob. And is that something that you would do like for the greater researchical good?
I would definitely do it. But I haven't done anything like that as of yet.
You know, I always get disqualified from studies because
you're in the military?
I have a psychology degree.
Oh, how does that?
Because a lot of times with any kind of like, because, you know, you study research. Mm-hmm. So they don't want to have any confounding variables in you as a subject because you know so
is
much about it.
Is this the placebo pill? Like,
yeah,
are
like,
you going to be
like
doing
shit
that?
Like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you're
like,
too woke.
Because you already know how research works. All you do is, right? Like, all you do is study fucking research. So
oh, okay.
they don't want to typically include psychology students or graduates because you basically can lead the conversation or lead the study where you want it to go because you kind of know so fucking much.
Interesting.
Yeah, but damn. I mean, I've also never, like, we a ton of studies, I've seen them posted when I was in college, mm-hmm. but never anything about PMDD.
Interesting. I wonder if those are popping up. How much is that a bag for participating in those things?
Not really.
Oh, never mind.
They'd
I was
be like,
how do I scam?
We play for your transportation.
You not scam, but just like get an extra, you know.
Nah, niggas, we want
plot for cash.
You want, I mean, if you want a MetroCard, they probably give you a fucking MetroCard.
I don't leave my house. I don't really need that.
Nah, you know, if you got
to
be on.
I'm trying to like buy a car, so I'm trying to get some.
If
real
you was on
coin.
Drugs, so get addicted to meth. And
cool.
then they'll give you wild money
nice.
To like do a meth. Seriously, never
do you
seen
use
that.
Crack cocaine. Yeah, that's
yeah,
one of my favorite
give you
commercials.
Like $2,000 anyway. So just to go into suicide, because this is something that we definitely brushed on, and we'll probably brush on one more time. So suicide is the one of the 10 leading causes of death for people with uteruses of reproductive age, which, you know, is pretty significant.
Yeah.
Especially because like. In the reproductive age, it just be wild like accidents and shit.
What did you mean accidents?
like accidents, like car accidents, stupid ass accidents that just be happening, niggas be dying and shit.
Yes.
But the studies show that 50% of people with PMDD will try suicide in their lifetime.
15%.
15. I've said 50.
It just sounded like you said 50.
I don't have my tongue rings in.
Oh,
so
I thought it was your tongue rings.
Yeah, no, that's why I can't talk at all because I don't know how. What is lisp? So for every male that dies by suicide, 4 people with uteruses attempt it.
Wow.
Yes.
Interesting.
So, like, people with PMDD basically have a higher attempted suicide rate and a higher self-harm rate.
Wow.
So, you know, that shit is it's a real fucking issue.
Why are we not talking
issue.
About this?
Yeah, and it's like, that's why when I saw you, and then just, like, talking about PMDD, and I'm like, oh, I have PMDD, but I've never met anyone else in my life.
Oh, yeah.
With PMDD. And not to say that I have friends who might have PMDD. I don't have friends who might have PMDD. Granted, I don't have a lot of friends with vaginas. And all my friends with vaginas are women, so I refer to them as, which is, you know, you and the other co-host, my best friend Randiva, my mom. That's kind of my circle of women. Mm-hmm. And I talk to them about this, so they listen and they understand. But they've never experienced symptoms that severe. You do? Oh, just kidding. Akua does.
So a lot of my symptoms are like PMDD. So I have like I literally have like contractions when I have cramps. Like, and I used to be bald over. And this, I got my period very early, so this started very early. Like, I couldn't go to school. I remember one time I got my period when we was in Six Flags, and I stayed in a corner in a ball. Like, I could not move. I was just physically just in debilitating pain. It used to bring on migraines. I used to vomit. I used to pass out. And then I also have depression. So I don't have PMDD. I have just very debilitating PMS that aggravates my depressive symptoms. So when my period comes, I'll go through swings. Like for the past 3 weeks, I've been very irritable. I've been snapping on my kid. I've been snapping on people. Until it caused like physical issues. So like I'm clenching my jaw all the time, like just very anxious, or I'll go into like very deep depression, hopelessness, like just deeper than normal. And it'll take me to realize where I am on the calendar to be like, oh, my period's coming. So things are kind of ramping up a bit. But then I also just have normal depression throughout the rest of the calendar. So it's not PMDD where it kind of will just stop there. It's like, no, bitch is just sad on the regular, but this shit, the hormones kicks it up. The end.
Okay. I didn't mean the 86 Akua out of the Yeah, I'm saying, like, okay, so just like side note, like me and the co-host are becoming close. Sam is my left nut, but I've met all
of
friends.
Me as such.
Absolutely such. Like, it's just, I have a right nut, which is Randiva, you're the left nut, and nice. I am the penis. But so stupid. But basically the point I was making was that you were the first person who I've ever seen like say I have PMDD. I've never even seen it online. I've never seen, like, I have all these people, like, I'll be stalking like Instagram pages and shit, and they'd be like, I have this disorder and I'm an advocate for this, I'm an advocate for that. I've never seen somebody say like, I'm an advocate for PMDD. I personally don't want to be the advocate for PMDD because that shit is just like too traumatizing, and like I really use my birth control to forget that it exists, and I want to inject birth control directly into my carotid artery. I never want to get my period that fucking bad.
I was thinking it would be great if, like, you know, when gene editing really, really pops off and you could just like eliminate the genes that cause PMDD, that would be nice.
Facts. But I'm sure, like, 99% sure that when gene editing pops off, they're still not going to know what genes those are because they're going to be like, yeah, we care more about. But yeah, so.
What you just said just resonated with me so much, just because I've been there. I still am there. Like, and that's what, you know, I was like, let me just write about it. And, you know, it took so much, Rob. Like, I was just like, oh, you know, like, I'm coming out, basically. This is something I have never spoken about to my family, to anybody. And it was just like, it took so much for me to just, like, even write about it and, like, tell people, like, this is a real thing.
So I get that. Like, you don't know people. People don't, a lot of people don't know about it. Like, and you know, like, you can't, you don't meet people and they're like, oh, like, you know, like, I have PMDD, like, friend-wise or anything like that. They don't know anything about what PMDD is. Like, most of my friends, majority of my friends, if not all of them, I had to educate them on what it is. So you could imagine, like, how hard it actually is. And even for you, Rob, like, for you to even just come on here and, like, even talk about it, like, it's a lot.
And it's the first time niggas are going to be finding, like, out.
Welcome.
Yeah. Like, especially, like, the suicidal thing for me. Like, because I really wanted to make that a point, you know? Like, me saying it is not light at all. Like, I wanted to make that a point. Like, this is a real thing. Like, this is extreme. It's nothing to be taken lightly. Like, you can't overlook this. This is not PMS. This is not something that, you know, you just say, like, oh, like, you know, PMDD, whatever. Like, no, this is something that you, I actually attempted suicide on multiple occasions, you know? And just imagine just being, like, you know, like, a young kid going through this, and that was me, and that was, you know, that was you going through it. And it's, I just really want people to know that they're not alone, and any, you know, like, just, you're not alone. Like, you, I want them to listen to this and, like, realize, like, hey, like, people actually go through this, and we're dealing with it, and you can live with it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. Like, yeah. It's just, like, now, basically, I'm really happy we did this episode, because even if, you know, I don't want people to self-diagnose themselves per se, because you know, you really, doctors fucking trash, but you don't know, all doctors aren't trash, that's a fact. And you might, if you do go to the doctor, the thing is that I want you to still go to the doctor, but now you have, you can say, do you think that I might have PMDD? And right, you can give them your symptoms, and they might say, as a matter of fact,
what is PMDD?
Right, and then they fucking do their job.
Yeah, sometimes, like, you have to educate your doctors.
I mean, there's something wrong with it, of course, but don't be ashamed of that, because it's something that is not really spoken about. And especially in an OBGYN setting, you know, a lot of the times you're dealing with nurse practitioners. They're not doctors, so they're not versed in everything. So you talking about mental disorders might be like, oh, shit, because it's still a mental disorder. It's not a disorder of the uterus or just a hormonal disorder. It's considered a mental disorder. So now you have a language, and now you can definitely, like, use it, because I didn't have that language, and I didn't ask, I was told. But I was lucky to have a very bright doctor who ended up moving, so after that I never spoke to her again, and I was really sad about that, because I can't find
a good one to go.
Right, and she was white at that, and I was very surprised, but she was just awesome. But she was just very, very ambitious person, but I could never find a doctor like that. So, matter of fact, let me just real fast, like, give my, like, quick history with PMDD. So my PMDD is comorbid with other things. And I think that now that I have it, when I finally stop being me and do go get help, I'll find out what it's comorbid with. Because now that I know that I had all these symptoms happening together, it might paint a clearer picture now that I'm on birth control, and that's out of the equation. But before I was on birth control, because I was on and off of it for a while when I was younger, but it was just for, you said, like, pregnancy purposes. But the PMDD wasn't that bad when I was younger. I was just, I mean, maybe it's because I was, like, drinking a whole lot and, like, wilding for respect, and it may have masked a lot of the symptoms, but I also had a really good boyfriend at the time, so he helped me through a lot of things. So my last year of college, especially, like, my last semester of college, that's when I was getting my human biology degree, and it was the most difficult fucking semester on earth, just because of classes, coursework. 400 level courses are difficult, and I took 3 of them at the same time, and I had 5 classes. And I had a shitty ass boyfriend, right? Like, double whammy and shit. My periods, they were always irregular, but I mean, they were bad as in pain, like excruciating pain. And sometimes my depression would be so wild that I would go to work and I'd be like, I gotta go home. Or I'd be in class and I'd just be like crying in the back of class. I'm like, why am I like this? I think I'm, like, so hard-headed. I was able to keep pushing through and, like, act like I was, like, okay for the most part, and just say, I just got shitty-ass PMS. But that last year of college, especially basically cohabitating with somebody,
was when you really get to understand your patterns, because it's like, I hate this nigga. I want this nigga out of my motherfucking house. You ain't paying for shit. And then when he leaves, I'm like, please come back. It was hard. And then at some points, especially towards the end of my graduation or whatever, I would become physically aggressive. I never hit him or touched him or anything like that, but I would start yelling at him. I had like a stupid ass argument with my best friend on his birthday, and I got out of his car like while it was moving.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, a lot happened, and I was like really embarrassed by it. Mm-hmm. So I clearly you're about to find out a whole lot of shit. I didn't tell anybody because I was just so embarrassed, because I didn't know why I was like losing my fucking mind. And I'm like, I know I'm stressed out, but like this is so much. And then I get my period and I'm like, this is just wild. So finally went to the doctor, like, all right. So she's like, all right, you want to get on birth control? Cause I figured if I get on birth control, this might help. Then I'm like, all right, so like, let me keep it a buck with you. Like before my period, it's not like PMS. It's like, I kind of want to kill myself. Like, what's up? She started asking more questions. She's like, it sounds like you have PMDD. And she explained what it was. And then asked me a couple more questions. And she's like, you know, I'm going to formally diagnose you with this. And we're going to get you birth control to treat this. The first birth. So she went through my birth control history at that and said, okay, you were on these two birth controls. How were they for you? Like, they were fine. I had like one time I had the patch. She's like, do you want to get back on the patch? Because it was great, but I was allergic to the adhesive after a while. So I was like, nah, just give me a pill. So she gave me a pill. But so I know that also with time, things change and you react differently. Because even though I was on this high-ass birth control, high hormonal birth control before, I reacted to a medium-level birth control pill with suicidal ideation, which was something that I haven't felt for no reason. I've never felt that for no reason. Usually it's like I was like depressed or something had some significant life altering event. But this time was I was with my ex, who was a piece of shit, and he did something like we got into like some dumbass argument as we always did. But this time I was like, no, this is it. I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And I went to my room and I tied some shit around my neck and I called my best friend or texted her or whatever. It was kind of all a fucking blur. But basically, I was about like 5 minutes away from ending my shit before him and her busted through my door. That was 2017 in the summertime. And then I never got help. All I did was go back to the doctor and say, I went to another OBGYN because that lady left. And I explained to her, like, no, like, I almost killed myself. And she's like, yeah, we're just going to change your birth control. And that was it. But it helped. I changed my birth control and I never got off of it. And then I was fine. Like, not fine, but like, I was like normal to me, like what's normal for me, which is not excessive fucking mood swings and going back and forth and not knowing what I was going to feel like the next day. Mm-hmm. And then I realized like that at that point, if I would have went to a psychologist or a psychiatrist, they probably would have diagnosed me with bipolar disorder, like, two, which is like, you know, like hypomania, mm-hmm. like, but then like rapid cycling because it was just back and forth. Mm-hmm. And then I get my period. And if I had my period for a month, which would happen sometimes, it would just be a month of fucking trash.
Yeah.
So that is my history of PMDD. I'm doing great.
Thank you for sharing, Rob.
It's lit. Mm-hmm. But, I'm really happy that you figured out what it was and are taking care of it. And I mean, you're doing it the best way you can because it's really trash that you don't react to anything like medicinal.
Yeah.
But you never know, because I feel like right now they just said that the Zoloft was approved as a treatment for PMDD. Zoloft was like the little egg that was like going down the street.
The sad egg, yeah.
Yeah, the real sad. Or it looked like a little Monistat one day.
It did actually, yeah. Very interesting connection there. So, it's the Illuminati.
NWO. But maybe one day there'll be like some kind of medication that's not like super duper hormonal or like, you know, just something, anything to, but it's just like, it's going to be so far away from now because they have to figure out the cause. They don't know the cause. The cause can be many things. But as she said, it's not like necessarily like always hormonal. It can be. But not necessarily like a hormonal imbalance, but a lot of the same hormones that play into PMDD are the same ones that play into depression. So this should just be fucking ovaries, bro. I can't live with them.
I mean, you wouldn't be here without them, so that is that is a pretty good statement to make.
I was waiting for you to finish it. Thank you. just stared at me blankly.
Ellie and Rob, I just want to say that I am appreciative and proud of both of you for speaking up about something that is clearly affected your lives in a very, very traumatic way. And I hope that going forward, folks who are listening can like pull the types of things that you said and like advocate for themselves in doctors' offices and just like feel less alone. Because in general, I remember when I was like 12 and I was going through like the second worst like depressive episode of my entire life. And I was just like, what the fuck? And I was even too scared to like Google what was going on because I was just like, I'm crazy and that's fucked up. And I just didn't want to talk about it or whatever. And like when I did like kind of mention it to my parents, they were like, you just need vegetables. And I was just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to the most Jamaican shit I've ever heard.
You just need nutrients, okay? Yeah, so thanks guys. I'm very, very happy that we did this episode. Ellie, is there anything else that you would like to discuss, or do you want to take this time to like plug your blog and anything else that you have going on the internet so people can connect with you and like read what you're doing?
All right. So I just want to say, first of all, I want to say thank you guys for allowing me sharing your platform with me and allowing me to tell my story and to help other people. And thank you, Rob, especially for even talking about what you've been through. And yeah, so I have a blog that I speak about my experiences. I have funny stories on there as well. You can follow me at www.speaknup@blog, and you can follow me at on Facebook at Ellie Ellie Mills Mills. Yeah, thank you so much, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And all of that will be in the description for this episode. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome,
yeah,
Sam.
You produced and participated the fuck out of that episode. And also thank you to our off-mic producer, Akua.
Our off-mic therapist.
Yes. Yes.
Like you said, you good? I loved it.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I'm just happy we did that. I have no other takeaways. Well, do you?
No. I mean, it was nice to like talk about it. And it also like maybe like realize things even after. Like, my mom, like, she'd be fine. My mom, like, as Ellie says that her mom suffered from PMDD. I was recently on vacation with my mom, and I asked her, like,
how are your periods?
Yeah. I was just really curious.
She's the 1% of people who are in the Tampax commercials dancing.
Yes. she'd be getting jiggy with it. Nah, like, she'd be smooth. She's like, you know, I get, like, cramps. She's like, it ain't nothing like the shit you get, though. You know, my periods are so bad that I was going to stop my birth control sooner, you know, just for like personal reasons, just for a week, you know, make sure periods are coming and shit. And she kind of like asked me like not to.
Wow.
Because she didn't want the PMDD rob.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love you, so okay. And I didn't. And it's fine because it's like, it wasn't like a rush or whatever. And I'm like, do I really want to feel like shit on vacation anyway? But yeah, but she... You know, it's not hereditary. She's like, my mom was fine. I was fine. She's like, it's just kind of like you. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I guess, bitch.
So I need gene editing up in this bitch.
Facts, edit that shit right out. And then, but then also made me realize too that, you know, I was feeling like depressive symptoms prior to me even menstruating. So that's what I mean. Like, it's like comorbid, but if you eliminate it, it's easier to find out like what the fuck is really going on. What's really triggering these things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, either way, it's like good to talk about. And I hope. And I guarantee niggas gonna be like, ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Or not. It might be a ding, ding for somebody else. Like, I have this friend who's fucking suffering.
Exactly.
And maybe you should look into this. But, you know, it's just a conversation that should be had. And it should be had more often than it be having.
I agree.
That was a great use of African American vernacular.
Be having. We're the podcast Black Sense, am I right?
South by Southwest, March 13th. Wait, what's March 13th?
Yeah, it's March 13th.
Yeah. I remember that from 11 to 12.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I'm going to be there.
Are you coming?
In spirit.
Fuck you, my nigga. I was so excited. I'm about to smack you in your motherfucking face. And I don't care if you have an army uniform on. I'll go toe-to-toe with a nigga in the army.
Oh, my
It wouldn't God. Be the first time.
It wouldn't yeah, it be would. The first time. Yeah, and you get your ass beat, but I love you.
I would put up a good fight.
All right.
I would break off a piece of the crucifix. Sharpen it.
What? How fast? Stab you. How fast? How fast? It's a big fucking crucifix.
Keep playing with me and we'll find
out. All right, Sam. Y'all hear this fucking death threat, right? You might want to cut that shit out, bitch.
I didn't say I was going to kill you.
You're going to stab me in the foot.
Mildly injure.
I just cut your face ever so slightly below the jaw. Below the jaw so nobody could see it because I appreciate you and cherish your face.
Do you want a Glasgow kiss? Has anybody seen that kid? Okay, never mind. It's one of my favorite things. Oh, anyway, let's. Yeah, all right, do you want to tell the people where they can follow us online?
Yeah, so if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are in a hope. We're in a whole.
Do you want a Glasgow kiss?
Because you said Glasgow, now I'm fucking British, nigga.
Yeah, you are.
Color, favor. anyway, if you want to follow us on Twitter, we are in a whole uprising without the G. On Instagram, we are in a whole uprising with the G, and you can follow us on Facebook at In a Whole Uprising. And if you want to follow me, you could follow me for free. My name is ROP.
Nice rap.
Thank you so much.
I can tell you're from Queens, New York.
I told you
the real birthplace of hip hop.
Because if y'all was at Sex Trivia after the show stopped, this is Sex Trivia in February. Me and Sam, was it me and you that did the fusion dance? Right? Because we were drunk. And we did the fusion dance and we were like talking about all the possibilities of things that we could have ended up as because it wasn't going to be Sam and Rob fused together because we kept fucking up. And then I also freestyled.
Yes, you did.
And nobody recorded it.
It was happening too in the moment. And we were living so in the moment. Funny. No cell phones.
Because I was like, fuck, that shit was dope. And I was like, one day I'm recording on air, but I'm never going to be that drunk on air. So we don't got to worry about that. Anyway, if you want to follow me, I'm at panafrican.bootyscratcher. At Twitter, I am Rob_God.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter and Carmen Sam Diego for food and travel photos on Instagram. Please go to innerheartuprising.com to pay a hoe or check out merchandise.
And also check Vanta.black at Instagram for our updates because I'm about to start painting again. I almost started.
Nice. You unsheathed the brush.
I unsheathed the wallpaper.
Yay.
And I put it up and I put gesso on the wallpaper, which is like the...
Here comes the freestyle.
Oh, gesso is the beginning of my painting. It's a sealant and it gets the tainted. No, I'm just kidding.
the taint.
I love
came
looking
out.
The taint. No, it's like the sealant in the beginning that you like fucking sand it down and shit to make like a smooth surface.
Oh, I know what a taint is. You don't have to explain it to me, man.
Shut the fuck up, you.
I know
flat.
Very well.
Sam's gonna be eating taint tonight. That's why. Nigga said. Can you end the episode like that?
Give me some gooch. Give me some gooch.
You can keep talking. I'm just going to keep eating.
Bye.
Bye.
You're fucking annoying.